don't have a situation where the Public Service Commission will investigate an issue affecting our public service and concerning a particular department. As we welcome everybody present here, I think we may have to state beforehand that it will have to be a standing item in the program of this portfolio committee, coinciding with the time the commission deals with the review in or reflections on the recommendations, for us to then come together and then see what is it that we do, so that if there is any intervention that has to be done, that intervention has to be done timely. So that is what we may have to indicate. In our agenda, we also have the second item where the committee was supposed to look at some internal arrangements in terms of the business of the portfolio committee. We will try to be very short. There is a briefing on the IPU, I think it's at 10 o'clock, where all members are invited. So we'll give priority to the PSC's report so that if we may save some time, we may be able to deal with that. I don't see any new face that will then instruct me to do the traditional business of introduction. So with that, I just want to hand over to Professor Sangweni, the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, to lead in the presentation. But before doing that, let me acknowledge the apologies of three or four members, Dr. Rupna Rain, Mr. Nyambi, and Mr. Tuawaza. Prof, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, we are glad and grateful to be here before you to present this briefing, not actually a report as we have indicated, but really to give you an insight into the status of the PSC recommendations in the period that we reflect on this briefing document, January 20, 2005 to December 2007. And indeed, as you have reflected, this issue is an outcome of our previous discussions where both the Public Service Commission and yourself, the Portfolio Committee, felt that we should place our fingers on the pulse of the recommendations, given that the recommendations that flow from the Public Service Commission are, in fact, the core operational aspect of our work. In whatever we do, whether it's investigation, whether it's a report, we do end that up with some recommendations. And given also some of the shortcomings in the Constitution, which create some gray areas around the matter of how such recommendations and directions ought to be implemented. So there is the mutual feeling that we should, in order to facilitate the process of their implementation, we should keep you, the Portfolio Committee, apprised of this. This appears a very short report when you look at it physically, but I just want to alert the members here that there is massive amount of statistical information which is captured in annexes, which it would not be feasible to circulate or flight this, I think, and I think in future we must find a way of how to handle that information. But the Secretariat, as they report, will refer to that aspect. And I would hope that in future we should find a formula for raising the level of this state of reporting or briefing to where we can even facilitate access to those. But I think the important thing, as we have also indicated, the idea here is to give a glance at what the status is with regard to recommendations, so that if there are any problems that we experience or encounter, we can share those problems with you as a committee so that we can see how to take them forward. Can I, if with those preliminary remarks, I can ask the secretariat led by the Mashtipofa to just give us the introduction, presentation of this state of the report.
Thank you, Prof. Chairperson, honorable members. The presentation outlined first some introductory remarks, followed by an explanation of the framework and categories that we use to classify the different kinds of recommendations that we make. And then we talk about the status of implementation of the recommendations, which will be followed by a broad assessment of what we see as the impact of the recommendations that we make, some suggestions in terms of way forward, and concluding remarks. We indicate in the introduction that in fulfilling our oversight mandate as the Public Service Commission, we make recommendations to departments, recommendations which seek to improve administrative practice. We find it important to make sure that this there's a process of reviewing the status of these recommendations periodically so that the PSC can improve upon and customize these recommendations and look at areas where follow-up is necessary. This is what we are presenting today is based on those periodic reviews reports that the PSC carries out. Just to explain the classification of recommendations, there are different types of recommendations that the Public Service Commission makes. We've classified them into two categories. We have what we call generic recommendations and those that we call specific recommendations. And we distinguish between the two categories as follows. We see generic recommendations as those recommendations that apply to the public service as a whole. And because we have a responsibility to promote the constitutional values and principles of public administration, we see this recommendation fulfilling that role, playing an advocacy role on good governance. They are of a promotional nature and are not directed to a specific department. They are directed to the public service as a whole. And we give an example here of what would be classified as a generic recommendation. We did a study on service standards in the public service, looking at the development of service standards by department, and after identifying certain common challenges, certain common weaknesses, one of the recommendations was that across the public service as a whole, the development of service standards should be included in departmental work plans so that activities relating to service standards can be appropriately budgeted for. Because if the development of service standards is not included in work plans, then it's not appropriately monitored, it's not appropriately assigned to specific individuals and so on. So this would be what we would call a generic recommendation. Most of the our recommendations that get contained in the State of the Public Service Report as well fall in this category, in the sense that they are serving an advocacy role on good administrative practice in the public service as a whole, rather than saying the Department of Arts and Culture should do A, B, C, D. That's the first category of examples. And as we indicated, it applies to all departments. and promote the prioritization of service standards in the public service. We then have the second category, which is what we call specific recommendations. These are recommendations that require specific administrative action on the part of the department, or compliance, or adoption of a specific procedure, or policy, or guideline, or protocol, or measure, but they are directed at specific departments. And we give an example here in terms of one of the investigations that were done in a department. One of the recommendations that came up, and this related particularly to the issue of filling of posts in that particular department, one of the recommendations made was that since no evidence for supporting documentation could be found to indicate that the selection committees were appointed and utilized for filling of this post, it is recommended that the department institute appropriate disciplinary action against the official or officials responsible for this oversight. Now, this is a recommendation that is not generic. We're not speaking to the public service as a whole. We are speaking to the specific department in which the investigation was done. So in a broad sense, these are the kinds of recommendations that we make. And in where there is a specific recommendation that has been done, we expect that the department will either implement that particular recommendation or they will disagree with us. But where they disagree, then they will have to finish us with reasons why they disagree with the recommendation. We find it important to distinguish between these two categories of recommendations because that also informs the kind of follow-up we do with departments. Where you have generic recommendations, it's often difficult to follow up immediately because usually it means that you need to connect with as many departments as possible, do a follow-up study. Let me give you an example, the one on service standards. If we are going to do a follow-up to establish the extent to which that recommendation has been implemented, we basically then have to use the study that we did earlier as a baseline and then do a follow-up study looking at all departments again to establish if there has been improvement since the report was produced. So most of the follow-up that we do on a regular and six-monthly basis as the Public Service Commission is around the specific recommendations because there we are talking about specific action being taken by the department to which the recommendations are addressed. Looking at the status of the recommendations, if you look at the period that we are covering here, which is January 2005, and we are looking at a period ending December 2007, there were 2,146 recommendations issued by the Public Service Commission. And as as Professor Sangwen was saying, there are these annexures where we list all of these recommendations and the status, well, the category under which it falls, whether it's specific or generic, and the status of that particular recommendation. And that's the issue that was being raised here to say, well, it was not going to be feasible to try to capture all the 2,146 recommendations in a presentation like this, but this information is available in the annexure. Working on the basis of that classification, 1,783 of them were specific recommendations and 363 of them generic, which immediately shows that in terms of the different types of recommendations we make, we tend to make more specific recommendations rather than generic recommendations. And now focusing on the specific ones, the 1,783 specific recommendations, 954 of them have been implemented by departments, and here you're talking about a 55% implementation rate. Four of them, departments came back to us and say we disagree with the Public Service Commission in this regard. There are examples where it's in relation to a grievance where an aggrieved employee has said that my post is the same as the post of so-and-so, and so-and-so's post was upgraded, and I thought we fell under the same. Our circumstances were the same, and I wanted the department to do likewise and also upgrade my post. and where investigation will be done and leading to particular recommendations, and then the department coming back to say, well, there is additional information that the Public Service Commission should be aware of, which affects the nature of the recommendation that has been made. So in such instances, then we follow up with the department to say, give us that additional information which you say affects the nature of the recommendation, and we'll see if you agree with it or not. The balance of the recommendation, 825, there is still a process of follow-up with the department to track the status of implementation. And I think the issue of the follow-up and the outstanding one will also make more sense when I talk about some of the process issues that we go through when we track the implementations of the recommendations. The first one is that some of the recommendations that we make take time to implement because they may have resource implications. So you may make a recommendation to a department in August, but it may be such that the recommendation may be such that the department will have to make provision in their budget for the next financial year for that recommendation to be implemented. Now, if you consider that some of the recommendations were made as recently as December 2007, and we are sitting now in March, it's not realistic that we would expect some of them to have been implemented already because of the time issue. But also just in terms of our own monitoring protocols, if you look at the space that we give departments to implement, we don't issue a recommendation today and then tomorrow we say to the department, what have you done with that recommendation? Some of the protocols that we use actually give departments a period of 3 months after which they are expected to have implemented the recommendation. So once again, illustrating the point that if you look at the 825, it should be looked at, viewed against that background, that some of the recommendations are very recent, and therefore that it's still within that window period provided for in the protocols in terms of the department making sure that they make arrangements for the implementation of the recommendations. Now, this is the statistics I was providing in terms of the specific recommendations, the 1,783, 954 implemented, information on status still being obtained on 825 of them, four where there is disagreement, and in percentage terms, we're looking at about 54% implemented, 46% where they still follow up, and 0.3% in terms of disagreement. We're just showing here the breakdown in terms of our national departments and the provinces, the spread of the recommendations that have been made. You see there in terms of the first bar on the extreme left, the national departments, where there's a total of 444 recommendations. And the members would see immediately that in terms of the highest number of recommendations, you have the Eastern Cape. With 409, showing that the province with the most recommendations from the most specific recommendations from the Public Service Commission is the Eastern Cape. But we should also keep in mind that the Eastern Cape also went through a particular process with the Public Service Commission in the form of the interim management team. So there are a number of activities that were embarked on around the time of the as part of the interim management team process, the number of investigations and a number of recommendations. In fact, there's close to 200 recommendations that were made in relation to the processes around the interim management management team. One should also indicate here that if you look at the our reports around the rate of implementation. Our reports show that in terms of pace of implementation, KwaZulu-Natal is doing much better than all the other provinces, followed by Western Cape. And the Eastern Cape and the Free State are the ones that are lagging behind in terms of implementation. So there's still a lot of follow-up that we are doing with departments in those provinces. To ensure that that implementation takes place. I'm raising this to indicate that the number of recommendations made in a province could be an indicator not so much of the level of administrative challenges in that province, but the level of engagement the Public Service Commission is having, keeping in mind that some of these activities that we embark on are not on accord. We have people who approach us to say, we would like you to do this and that kind of work in the province. But nonetheless, this gives a picture in terms of where most of our recommendations are focusing. We thought that, Chairperson, that we should also just share some ideas around how we see our recommendations as the Public Service Commission having an impact in public administration. And we identified two key areas that we thought we should share with members of the committee. One is that we see our recommendations having an influence in terms of policy change, and we also see our recommendations having an impact in terms of improving compliance levels in specific departments, improving the nature and quality of administrative practices in those departments. And we'll explain this a little bit more. If you look at the policy level, the issue of code of conduct, the code of conduct was developed by the Public Service Commission, made as a recommendation to the policymaker, and as we speak today, the code of conduct is part of the public service regulation, which means that the work that the Public Service Commission did around the code of conduct has indeed found a place in the public service and has been adopted. The same applies to the issue of financial disclosure framework, which was developed by the Public Service Commission, recommended to the policymakers, and it has been taken up as part of policy, included in the public service regulation. And if you look at the level of implementation, and this is not so much the issue of policy, but the issue of improving compliance, the financial disclosure framework, we're still not satisfied with the fact that we are not achieving 100% compliance. But if you look at patterns throughout the years, we've seen more and more improved compliance levels in terms of the number of SMS members who then complete and supply the Public Service Commission with the financial disclosure forms, increasing from 65% to 79%. And the figures that we have now for the current period are even at around 84%, which shows that there is an incremental improvement in terms of the levels of compliance with the financial disclosure framework. We obviously attribute part of that to the kind of promotional work that we do in this area, because we track this information, we produce fact sheets on which departments have not complied, and we publish this information, amongst others, through our State of the Public Service report. There is also work that we have done as the Public Service Commission in terms of managing conflicts of interest, where we have proposed specific options for a policy framework on conflicts of interest. And that work is being considered now by the Department of Public Service and Administration, and we believe that will also have a significant policy implications if the recommendations are taken up. There is also the issue of annual reports that we produce on financial misconduct. This is in relation to increased levels of compliance. If you look at financial misconduct, the reports that we produce, and you compare the period 2004-2005, where we had 5 national departments and 13 provincial departments failing to submit any of their reports on financial misconduct by the due date, and then you compare that to 2005-06 financial year, where all national departments submitted their reports, and there was only one provincial department that failed to submit. It's again because of the promotional work that gets done in this regard, collecting this information, bringing this compliance plan to the attention of the executive and to the attention of Parliament to ensure that levels of compliance do improve. We also, as given as another example, in terms of the impact that the study that was done by the Public Service Commission around the management of sick leave, one of the recommendations that were made in that study was around effecting certain changes in the fields of PASA, and indeed those changes were reflected by National Treasury. We members of this committee will be aware of, I think, the most well-known one is that of the of National Anti-Corruption Hotline, that based on a study that was done by the Public Service Commission, which recommended, amongst others, the establishment of a single hotline facility, as opposed to having different hotline facilities run by different departments. That was recommended, and as we speak today, we have the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, which the Public Service Commission is responsible for managing. Other examples where we have observed what we would see as our contribution to greater levels of compliance, if you look at the issue of performance agreements of heads of departments, because we are responsible for filing the performance agreements of heads of departments once they have been concluded between the HODs and the executing authorities. But our role here is not just filing them, receiving them, and filing them, but we do quality assurance on the performance agreements as well, where we believe there are certain gaps, areas of compliance in terms of the performance management and development system. We identify them and communicate those accordingly to the executive and heads of department. And because we monitor this trend and we produce fact sheets, there's a fact sheet that we produce by July, which indicates the status as at end of June to say which HODs managed to complete and file their performance agreements with the PSC as required by Chapter 4 of the SMS handbook that they should be with us by 30th of June. So it's on consistent monitoring of this trend, consistent reports, and bringing this trend to the attention of the executive and Parliament, where we believe we will be seeing more and more improved compliance there. The process for the evaluation of the performance of heads of departments there as well, because apart from filing performance agreements, we are responsible for facilitating the evaluation of the performance of heads of departments. But apart from facilitating the evaluations, we also oversee the process and produce reports, which indicates which HOD has been evaluated, which HOD has not been evaluated. And again, we produce fact sheets in this regard, bring the trends to the attention of the executive, and we've certainly done so in terms of bringing those to the attention of this committee as well. We believe also that if you look at the studies that we now conduct on an ongoing basis around the granting of performance rewards, we started with correctional services, Department of Labor and Home Affairs, and we follow up with social development, and we'll be continuing with those kinds of studies. What we are doing there again now is putting a spotlight on compliance issues in terms of granting of performance rewards, so that we do not have the malpractices of people being granted performance rewards without, for example, entering into performance agreements, without due processes being followed, and by putting a spotlight on those issues, and again, raising levels of awareness where there are areas of non-compliance, we believe that there is, again, this is an area where increased compliance will be achieved. Some suggested pointers in terms of way forward. We indicate that we recognize that the evidence on the impact of our work should in future be collected much more systematically, so that we are not sharing what appear to be anecdotal data. One of the things that we raised with members of this committee when our work plan was discussed was a particular initiative on our work plan to assess the impact of the work of the Public Service Commission, where we even indicated that we would need this to be done by an external agency, so that it's not just the PSC inwardly looking at itself and saying these are our achievements. There is that particular project now that is on our work plan to look at that. But as part of ongoing monitoring, what we are doing is strengthening our own tracking mechanisms internally. We intend issuing better protocols for communicating with and obtaining feedback from departments on the implementation of recommendations. We have templates at the moment where we are saying that this is once recommendations have been issued, this is how we will follow up with departments to ensure implementation. One of these obviously involves better engagement opportunities with stakeholders during the evaluations and after the investigations and after the recommendations have been issued. With the system that we implement on transversal monitoring and evaluation in departments, at the beginning of the evaluation cycle now, what we do is we do a presentation to top management in the department to say this is how we are going to implement the system. And once a report has been produced, we actually discuss that report back with management again to say these are the recommendations that that we have issued, and we would like to get a response from you around how these recommendations will be taken forward. These are some of the mechanisms that we are putting in place to ensure that we improve the implementation of the recommendations that we make. But we will also draw attention of the executing authority and head of department to the specific recommendations that they are expected to implement. We will direct the executing authority or head of department to ensure that within a specific period, and in terms of the Public Service Amendment Act, there is provision now that within a period of 60 working days from the day we communicate the directive to the department, there should be implementation, or otherwise they should then come back to us and say, this is why we don't think we should implement this this particular recommendation. So that's an instrument that the Public Service Commission intends using much more effectively. But we should also indicate that we would like to ensure that the recommendations we make are persuasive enough, and that it is the persuasiveness of nature of the recommendation that compels the department to implement them, that convinces the executing authority and heads of department to implement the recommendation. However, in those instances where what we believe are compelling and persuasive recommendations still do not get implemented and no valid reasons are provided, the Public Service Commission will inform the Portfolio Committee accordingly. What we will then do is to sit through all these recommendations that we have made to say, in which areas have we used our own internal protocols to follow up with the department, and we have still not been able to make progress. Identify those areas and then bring them to the attention of the committee to say, in this particular areas, we would like to have your intervention. We hope that we believe that one of the important things to achieve in this regard would be to ensure that our engagement is broadened, because we largely engage with the portfolio, this committee, Select Committee on Local Government and Administration, and occasionally the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. And we believe that we should find opportunities to ensure that other portfolio committees increasingly use the work of the Public Service Commission more actively between the recommendations that we make. Particularly at provincial level, and I think in the meeting that we had on Wednesday, this issue was raised by our provincial-based commissioners, that the interaction is not at the level where the PSC would like it to be. So when we make recommendations that are specific to particular provincial departments, after we have exhausted our own internal mechanisms, we would like to ensure that we have a much more stronger interaction with the provincial legislatures so that they can also come in to assist in this process. We would like to get to a situation where, in consultation with yourself, we have a detailed guideline on how committees of parliament or provincial legislatures should deal with the recommendations of the PSC. One of the issues that's been raised several times after we would present the report, a question would be asked, what should this committee do? How should this committee, I remember the Honourable Mini, on Wednesday raised the question even after our presentation, what should we do with these recommendations, how should we take them forward? And we believe that if we, as we engage with more portfolio committees, a guideline of that nature would be helpful so that there's a certain consistency with which recommendations are engaged with which there is follow-up that is being done. At this stage, we're calling it a guideline because it's obviously and not something that will have to interfere with parliamentary processes. But just so that there's a precedent in this regard, which is what National Treasury developed around an annual report to say once annual reports have been produced, how can the annual report be used as instruments of oversight? And it's in that line that we are thinking about this, to say how can the recommendations of the Public Service Commission be used as instruments of political oversight? Some concluding remarks, Chairperson. We believe that the practice of monitoring and evaluation is regarded as an important part of accounting for performance and learning from experience. For us, a large part of such a practice lies in the tracking of the implementation of our recommendations. We have started a process here of strengthening our tracking mechanisms, the follow-up that we make on the recommendations, and we'll do so in order to enhance the effectiveness of our oversight work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, PSD, for your presentation. As Professor Sangoni has indicated, that this report may appear to be like a short report, but it makes sense that report that with all information, it is one of the biggest reports. But if we, I'm not sure if all of us, we have the narrative summary. There is one point I want to make so that as we engage on this report, we can actually know. I think a nice stress that, of course, is part of the thing that we always make. I think on page 4 of the narrative summary, we form a copy. And let me just read it so that we have a reflect on the way forward. That the PSC is only engaged by the Portfolio Commission of Public Service and Administration, the next committee of local government and administration, and occasionally by the Standing Commission of Public Accounts. While the interaction between the PSC and the above mentioned committees are valuable, the PSC is concerned that Parliament is not effectively utilizing the information that the PSC generates. Other portfolio committees will also use, I think this part is it. But what I wanted to stress is that point that the observation that the Public Service Commission is making. So as we decide, we should actually reflect on this observation. Colleagues, this is the debate on the status of the Public Service Commission recommendation. The Meme, Mr. Kagane, Mr. Kumalo, the Tebu, Nematome, in that order. Mr. Meme.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the Public Service Commission for this report. To me, this is a work in progress report. It's a pity, and I would like to see which departments, and I believe this will come up in a couple of months or so, which departments are not implementing so that we can take decisions forward on these departments. And I want to say further that I fully agree with the recommendation of the Public Service Commission that a detailed guideline be developed on how committees of parliament or the provincial legislature should deal with the recommendations of the Public Service Commission.
Thanks, Mr. Lenin.
I just wanted to echo what you have just said. Because this is the very thing I've been laboring to understand as to why when the PSC comes out with recommendations and they somewhere in the tunnel they die off and nothing happens. Although even now I don't know and I haven't heard how we as a portfolio committee we are going to ensure that the recommendations of the PSC are implemented. because that will address, you have picked up the very important clause in this narrative, which says, what do we do from the angle of the recommendations from the PSC? That will really address everything one has been mourning about. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kumalo.
Am I audible? Chair, there's just one concern. Prof, in his opening remarks, referred to constitutional shortcomings and grey areas, which to me sounded that in executing their mandate, they are hampered in a way by certain conditional provisions. I would like Prof to clarify that and give up those shortcomings, and if we need to help so that we can help. And I also want to thank the Commission. If you look at the slide on page, on way forward, right at the end, where it states that the PSC therefore recommends that in consultation with the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration and selected committees or provincial legislators, a detailed guideline be developed on how committees of parliament or provincial legislators deal with recommendations. But I also want to say that we need at least a deadline as to when those guidelines will be available. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bawam Temba.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, let me thank the Commission for this summary that is more proactive. Firstly, I want also to appreciate the fact that recommendations of the Commission have got an impact on policy or even legislation. I think this is very, very important because there is a perception even within some officials that the Commission has no role to play in policy. Some even go to an extent of saying even the Portfolio Committee for that matter. I think there is some misunderstanding about how policy is developed. So to me, this is something that indicates that greater compliance is not just for strategic reasons, but it has got also a substantive impact. The fact that now you have influenced the Code of Conduct, which actually goes to a point of ensuring that now professional ethics and professionalism is promoted. I think that is very substantive, and we appreciate that. I think that is also like the Portfolio Committee, looking at the impact of certain legislation, how actually it impacts on certain lives. It can come up with certain gaps in policy and legislation, and in turn, it can influence the policy. So that side is policy implementation. So I appreciate that there is that understanding that we can impact on policy as well as development. Having said that, I think to me what is actually amazing is that there seems to be some progress being made around this issue of compliance, this issue of recommendation being made, and how actually it can be being taken forward. Now, if you look at the Public Service Commission, look at the committee, look at the Public Service Administration, the department, you look at Parliament, there seems to be some emerging trend that indicates that progress is being made. And I think it is important that we should look at some of these developments. Firstly, if you look at the
also have been debating this issue of recommendations. As way back as 2002 and 3, if you recall with the stress plan, Somerset West, where is another one, where we would discuss this thing. At one point, we even invited the speaker, I'm sure you recall, and we may not be aware what transpired thereafter. Immediately after that intervention by the committee, the speaker commissioned a study around accountability, around oversight. It has been extensive work, you know. He also commissioned another study by GAT around this issue. And I'm happy to inform you that now, this question of Parliament, you know, taking recommendations very seriously, it has been looked into very broadly. And I think that task team, which was instituted by Parliament, has just finalized its recommendations. And we've been told in our caucus that now, at the end of this month, a new model of accountability and oversight, parliamentary accountability and oversight, will be implemented. And I can also inform you that now, one of the key, you know, reform in transforming Parliament is the setting up of what they call a parliamentary oversight unit, which is dedicated specifically on issues of what's called of recommendations, not only from the Public Service Commission, but generally, and with qualified, you know, researchers and everybody, and a mechanism of tracking. And what is coming up with this debate, I'm not sure, because it will be reported to us next week or so, that now recommendation, once a committee has sent and submitted recommendations to the Speaker's office, and it is being adopted by Parliament, then that unit will track it, and the department will be given 21 days to respond, further of which a follow-up will be made. So the issue of recommendations is being taken very seriously, and I'm happy that now the initiative we took as a portfolio committee to bring the people who are responsible. Last time we bring in the what's called the chairperson of committees around this issue. We started with the speaker. First time the speaker had problems of coming, and we still said he must come. And I'm happy that now there was some response, and serious changes are coming up, which will ensure that the work of Parliament actually, you know, it actually moves very, very effectively. So progress is being made in that front. The committee also initiated what we call round tables. You shall have noticed last time when we were discussing the state of the public service, we invited other committees so that now they become aware of certain issues, you know, that are happening. And that has been a trend which we're trying this question of ensuring that now portfolio committees are actually other portfolio committees, they take these things very seriously. And then we also see that the Department of Public Service and Administration, you'll recall that with the Public Service Amendment Bill, one of the most important issues there was compliance. You see that we're making progress. Compliance, very, very seriously. So now, I'm happy that now we are identifying these challenges, but at the same time, we're coming up with solutions. And I'm happy that now the Public Service Commission have taken this matter further by saying that they will come up with other mechanisms and protocols. And the Portfolio Committee has pointed out that that's why we wanted to meet with you, because we're very clear. And that is the reason why we appreciate us, and we appreciate the fact that there's a clear way forward as to what to do. And in our program, we have said that now we want to engage the various committees. Have we talk of anything now? I'm sure you've seen it there. We're very serious about this issue. There will be an endeavor around this issue. So what is happening, and presently the portfolio committee, if I may point out, I'm among other people who have been assigned to work out on all these issues and come up with clear recommendations to deal with them once and for all, so that now we don't keep on talking about non-compliance, non-compliance, but actually we must talk of to what extent our addressing this issue. So I think we're making progress, and I'm very, very, you know, excited about what is going on. I think our interaction and what is happening, it gives me some sense of hope. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May I not come back?
Honorable Ntembe has actually addressed to a large extent what I wanted to address with regard to the recommendations and ensuring that the recommendations of the Public Service Commission are actually implemented and are given the necessary urgency and importance. But I just want to add another dimension to that. I learned the Auditor General, over and above reporting on financial performance of departments, is also going beyond that and also reporting on the service delivery of the department. That is also looking at the performance of departments. I just want to find out from the Public Service Commission as to whether this move, how this move by the Auditor General is going to impact on the work that you are doing, especially in ensuring that, you know, the recommendations that you make are implemented. Because I believe that the Auditor General can enforce their recommendations, unlike with the Public Service Commission, where we depend, when we rely on persuading the executive authority and the head of department in the implementation hereof. And then going back to the graph that you have shown, you have said that this graph of the breakdown of recommendations per province indicates the pace of implementation and also the level of engagement that the Public Service Commission has with the provinces. I just want to understand better as to now who initiates this engagement, because so that, you know, Chairperson, if as a portfolio committee we have got to whip somebody if necessary, we should know whom to whip. Is it the Public Service? Is it going to be the Public Service? Is it going to be the Public Service Commission, which is going to be the victim, or the provinces? And finally, on the engagement or interaction with the provinces, you're saying it is not at the level which the Public Service Commission would like it to be, and we are further recommending that in consultation with the Portfolio Committee on Public Service Commission and the Select Committee on provincial legislators, we are going to come up with guidelines as to how to improve this interaction. I just want to know, for now, it may not be satisfactory, but at which level are we interacting with the province? Because I think that interaction is much, much more important than our interaction, because that's where things are happening. So.
Thank you very much. Can we get the Commission to respond to the first round, and then the first speaker at our second round is Mr. Ulysses, and then the others will come? Can I also get an indication, as the Commission is responding, if other members would like to make input? Over to you, Prof.
Fine. Thank you very much, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. We will try to respond. I'll just make one or two comments, and then ask my colleagues also to come in. But just to make the general observation that indeed, as we compiled this briefing, it became clear to us that one is not here really raising alarms or for false alarms. One is rather looking at a status which is at best indicative of a certain trend, but there aren't alarming instances that one can say yes, there are serious issues of concern. Even where we have, as Mr. Dipofa was reporting, there have been one or two cases where, in this term, where departments were in agreement. The disagreement is not a defiance. The disagreement on an issue is not a matter of saying, yeah, well, this one is non-compliant. You communicate. It's a way of communicating and sending a position, and we respect that also, because it is a response, in response to a certain, to some of the importance we have sent there. And that is that's why then, as some of the committee members have observed, this is work in progress. We'll pursue that and see. But where it gets to a point where we then realize that, no, it's beyond disagreement, it takes the shape of outright non-compliance, then of course one would treat it as that. So I believe that will also take care of the comment raised by Honourable Member Mr. Mini. I don't think we are in a position, as this status reflects, where we can say to you, here's a department, or here are a number of departments that you should deal with in that manner that we spoke about. And perhaps also, while on that, this goes back to the other interaction we had 2 days ago when we were discussing the matter of the compliance on the performance agreements. There was a discussion which was pointing the direction, in the direction of getting those HODs, DGs, in instances where they have not complied, getting them to come in account. And the sense I got of that was also not that you are holding them before a court or an inquisition, but the idea is actually to open up a discourse, and in the process of that, arrive at solutions. I think we can share in this regard with the Portfolio Committee that in our experience, we have indeed applied some of the mechanisms available to us. As you will know, for instance, in the Public Service Commission Act, there is provision for us to apply the mechanism of summoning any official or any member within the public service if we require the information that we believe they have. And we have applied this on executive authorities, on ministers, but in not in a confrontational, hostile manner, but in a positive manner. And it has produced some very, very good results, very, very good results. It was a communicative exercise, and both parties, ourselves and the executing authority concerned, at the end of the day, realized that the issues that one was discussing were issues that ought to be dealt with. And I'm trying to apply the same principle in this manner that we are discussing here. There was also a comment, a response, a comment from Mdungwa about the remark I made earlier on regarding some constitutional shortcomings. That was with reference really to a matter that was discussed quite extensively, if you recall, when the Public Service Amendment Bill was discussed last year, where the matter of the Constitution not being clear and not giving clarity or giving more teeth, if you like, to the Commission in terms of making directives. In fact, the Constitution merely provides for the Public Service Commission to make directives which the EAs can choose or not choose to apply. And the point was made then that this was quite different from the previous dispensation where the Constitution provided for these recommendations or directives to be implementable after a certain stage. But that matter also was dealt with to a certain extent. As you recall in the amendment, there was provision, there is provision made with regard to the implementation of the recommendations of the Public Service Commission arising from section 196 bracket 4F, where the commission would make recommendations with regard to personnel practices, recruitment, and so on. Those recommendations those directives of the commission do, in terms of the amendment in the Public Service Act, do have that implementability. I'm just not clear now where that bill is at the moment. I know we know that it's been signed by the president, but where exactly it is, we are not very clear. But it does address this matter. I think I will stop there and ask if some of my colleagues can take up some of the matters that have been raised.
Expert. Any comments? Chairperson, the comments made by Honourable Mtembo, and somebody had asked for again. I think Honourable KK had asked for a deadline around the guidelines, and I think we probably going to have to wait for the developments as Honourable Mtembo has indicated around how Parliament is now going to be dealing with the. With some of its oversight functions before we actually comprehensively come out with a guideline. I think it probably would be able to inform us, but I think we note with appreciation, in fact, that there is a seriousness with which Parliament is now looking at its oversight functions, and we would want to be guided by some of those discussions and things that come out there. I'm not so sure about what Honourable Matamela said around the Auditor General. I stand under correction. They sometimes suffer under the same pains as we do with regard to recommendations and not and the lack of enforceability around some of their work. There is an overlap. There is an overlap in terms of what the Auditor General does with regard to other than financial performance. And also looking at service delivery performance. But I don't think we can stop them from doing that. We obviously have a specific mandate in terms of the Constitution, in terms of promoting the constitutional values and principles, which I don't think is necessarily the approach of the Auditor General. They're probably doing it from a point of view of the PFMA and financial probity. But we have a memorandum of understanding with the Auditor General in terms of a working relationship. So... we're not really feeling threatened by the Auditor General, and I stand under correction in terms of the enforceability of their recommendations. The engagement at the provincial level is really very, very uneven, Chairperson, and it's really something that we do would want to see addressed in a manner that there is far greater engagement. We submit and table our reports in the same manner that we do at the National Parliament, also with the speakers at the provincial legislatures, all our reports, and also get sent to the individual members. The number of times we get called to come and present on those reports and discuss some of those reports really is that's lamentable, and we would certainly would want to see some more serious engagement. To the extent that Prof. Sangwene had written to the speakers expressing some concern, to be restricted of the respective provincial legislature. And probably we have to speak to check whether in fact we had even received any form of acknowledgement from that particular correspondence.
Honourable Chairperson, I think in terms of the recommendations and the implementation of the recommendations, yes, as you can see even in the tone of the meeting, there isn't that much of a problem. It's a matter that can be handled. A commissioner can go and see an MEC and insist on being given reasons why a recommendation was being implemented. So in terms of that, we don't really have a... It's not that there's no problem, but it's not an insurmountable problem. The major problem is mainly on the generic issues, where you say we issue a report on service delivery standards, and we say the commission is not happy with the fact that departments do not have service delivery standards. Now, you would have noticed from the report that Mr. Dipofa gave that the generic issues are the ones that we're not really discussing. But for Parliament, those are the ones that really matter because those are the ones that we say on HIV/AIDS, we make these recommendations that departments should do 1, 2, 3, 4. And because they are generic, they should be done by everybody. There has to be a mechanism where Parliament ensures that some of these recommendations are implemented or that is given reason why these recommendations are not implemented. And I think that's where the major work of Parliament comes in, because that's where you want to see whether the policies that you have written, the experts you have elected, are getting implemented or not. And that's where we would have a serious concern, some of us that are in provinces. When we issue a report on housing subsidies, and we say that people get these houses and then they rent them out to other people, and we then say there must be a mechanism to stop this. We expect that either Parliament will then pass an act correcting that if you've got a house, you can't do 1, 2, 3, 4, or alternatively that we find a mechanism to really monitor that this does not happen. Well, fortunately, there have been changes in this regard. I'm just giving an example only to show how important the generic ones are to Parliament, because those are the ones that say, we wanted to see a public service that is caring, a public service that serves people with smile, a public service that is courteous, a public service that has service standards that they must meet or explain to people why they are not met. Now that is where really we really need to find a way for the portfolio committee to apply its mind. These are the ones where we say this grievance, we're making a recommendation that the employee be promoted. I'm sure the commission can greatly assist Parliament to see to it that happens. Well, that we don't need to really even concern Parliament on some of those particular ones. You know, we should be able to, on our own, make sure that they are enforced, because As the chairperson of the commission was saying, there are powers to summon and many other mechanisms to do that. And now, as the chairperson equally was saying, the new Public Service Amendment Act does give some powers to people to implement within a certain period the recommendations of the commission. The generic ones are a real problem. And that's where the bulk of our work in terms of reports comes in. And one of the major problems in this regard is the fact that you don't have a public service portfolio committee in provinces. So the portfolio committees that work with the public service administration must be identified. It is important that the portfolio committee here write to the speakers and say, we want to know who deals with these matters and who implements them, so that from time to time we should be able to meet with them. And when a report of the commission has been issued, then we must find out how the provinces are going to make sure that the recommendations in this report are implemented. Remember, people who say we're writing policy are really talking nonsense. We're not writing policy. We're saying policy has been written. We have gone out to check whether it's being implemented or not. And where we find that it is not being implemented, we are writing and recommending that it should be implemented. We then give ideas on how to implement this. We're not writing new policies. We're just suggesting methods in which you could implement the policy on battle paid, for instance, or on service delivery standards, or on consulting people. And these are very important issues, especially the battle paid report. So, yes, Jefferson, there is a need, one, that this portfolio committee really find people in the provinces that must talk to this portfolio committee. And then those portfolio committees in the provinces must then ensure that the recommendations that are made in the report that are adopted by this portfolio committee are implemented through monitoring. Yeah, I sincerely believe that what gets measured gets done, and what gets monitored, I can guarantee you will get done. But if the monitoring of the generic issues is loose, then we will not be getting the maximum benefit out of the report of the commission.
Thank you very much, Masan. Can we, before I take Commissioner DeFreco and Mesh, just take the follow-up hands that are there, so that I see the energy that is there on the commission side to respond to the issues, so that maybe we could be in a position to take on board some of the other views. I think that will be proper. Before Mr. Mino walks out, you see. I mean Mr. Ulysses, sort of. And you know, one thing, you know, I did not indicate just before Mr. Mino spoke that yesterday was his birthday. So maybe it's because he did not tell us how old he is. Mr. Ulysses.
Not getting younger.
Not getting younger.
Che. Something that worries me here. In the narrative, they say the PSC relies on the persuasiveness of its analysis to convince executing authorities and heads of departments to implement its recommendations. That bothers me. If we must presume or be persuasive to heads of departments, what does it say to me? The heads of departments are way above us all. I mean, if we have a standard recommendation, we don't need to be so persuasive to convince heads of departments. That is the way we operate. And there's something else. 2 weeks ago, I heard something about Home Affairs, where the head of the department makes certain recommendations within his department. And then, you must listen carefully, because I want you to make a recommendation to me. And then some of the portfolio committee members apparently went behind his back and spoke to some of the officials he was involved in this recommendations from the head of the department. Now, if the if members of the committee to think like that, now, what is the recommendation to who do we speak to? To the executive authority? What do we do? And then furthermore, Mr. Chair, I think the PSC gave us all the tools, this committee, all the tools to persuade and to execute our mandate. And as I said 2 days ago, I think it's now in our hands to go and see the recommendations and all this wonderful work of the couple of months they gave to us, how we going to execute our authority. What are we going to do as a committee, as a political body to see what do we need to do? This is now our problem. Now we must go out and we must work out what we're going to do with the recommendations and these things. And I think if we can do this, if we can have the political will to execute our mandate, then we want to see less of the PSC. Soon we're going to fire them. We're going to say to them, we don't need you anymore because now the engine is running on all cylinders. We must just do our job as a committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you very much. Yuli, before you have a nice weekend, let's be a little people.
Yeah.
Baba Saka.
So, I've got two recommendations here. One is this committee recommends that we prefix the name of the Public Service Commission by calling it the Christian Public Service Commission. You know, this is addressing exactly what Minnie is saying. You know, for a long time, I used to mourn about the Public Service Commission not having teeth to bite. But today I heard a very important aspect from Professor Sangwin, where he says, in some instances, they've called in executing authorities, ministers, and they've addressed issues in a persuasive manner, Yuris. And he went further to say, this has bear some fruits. So sometimes you ask yourself whether the teeth thing you've been mourning about was worth it rather than a persuasive line of adopting them. To me, that was very important, what Professor said, that in that aspect, it has yielded some good results. Perhaps if the Commission is comfortable with that, we should leave it at that. Then it takes me to another point. Who monitors other Section 9 institutions? Why don't we? I've always been very impressed by the PSC. Can't we recommend that they become a super Section 9 institution to monitor other institutions, whether they function well? That's my recommendation, Chair. Thank you.
Adopted.
thank you, Baba Sakhan. To say that the teeth are now planted in the mouth of the PSC and the right size of teeth. Maybe colleagues, let's accept some few things, and then as we engage, note that as a portfolio committee, we are going to reflect and take a decision on this matter, on this presentation. Let me indicate that on some of the things that we need to note is that this report shows that out of the recommendations that the Public Service Commission made to departments and also the generic ones, there is only 4% of disagreement. It is 4%. Or 0.4, I mean, there's only 0.1, is 4 in number out of 2,000-odd, which translates to 0.4%. I think we need to note that what does that show? It shows the quality in terms of the role of investigation that the Public Service Commission does. So that when you come to a recommendation, it was not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to then say, you are dealing with a department whose line responsibility it is to deal with these things. And from Sunday to Sunday, they are actually dealing with those things. Then when you do an investigation, you come out with findings and recommendations that out of 100% is only 0.4. It shows that a good work is being done. I know that in a democracy, making criticism is one of the very important aspects in terms of intervention in a democracy. But also in a democracy, there's nothing wrong in giving praise where praise is deserved. I think we need to note this. The issue around the PSC's follow-up in the report is largely in the specific recommendations. Or let me indicate that according to both the report and the comments by the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, there is no alarm on any area in terms of these two categories, including the generic one. But it will seem as we interact that there are those of us who see room for improvement in dealing with the category of generic recommendations. Let's agree that it's a fact, but also let's note what is already holding, because you see, like, people come and say, let's come with recommendations. Before we open a floodgate, you know, of recommendations that may actually, to a greater extent, sometimes inundate beyond a recognition our policies that we have, and also the progress that we made up to so far. We need to also check as to whether, in terms of what is holding at the moment, we fully utilize that, so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you are supposed to implement the tool that we have. Instead of implementing, you recommend that, that something must be done with the tool itself. I think that is where the Honorable Ntebo was actually also giving a free lecture in as far as what is holding at the moment, some of which ourselves have actually contributed to make sure that these things turn around. I mean, that's a situation we need to. Maybe what is remaining is to then provide a one-stop service without reference, so that we don't act like a situation where if you go to the communities there, you raise an issue about water, the water councillor will say, no, the mayor knows this. You go to the mayor says, no, the district mayor knows about it. You go to the district mayor, he says, no, the Minister of Water Affairs may say something about that. Go to the minister, then says the minister, no, the president can say it. Then he goes to the president and says, no, but the ruling party can say something about it. No. We have to actually provide that one, so that when you meet at a particular level, you are able to address. Let's look at the generic recommendations. I think that the issues that are referred under this category may best be handled through the MPSA, the Minister of Public Service and Administration. The Public Service, I think it's the Second Amendment. Is it the Second Amendment Act? The one that has now been accepted by the President. Now, the Public Service Amendment, whether it's second or third or ninth, it actually addresses those in terms of the centrality, so that you don't deal only with policy at the level of development, but also you deal with policy in terms of following up or implementation. I think that is the tool that we have. I don't think, and also before going to that, you know, in Parliament, we all know that we have what we call the lead of government business. So that if there are those things that are generic in nature having to do with public service, you know where to direct. And I think we also know that in our country, our president he has what we refer to as executive powers as well. Now that then bestows a status of being head of government. Now we can't then say that we are found wanting in terms of where to refer cases that have to do with public service that in nature applies across departments. We can't then say that we have found one thing. That arrangement is there. So it is a question of then saying, let's provide this one-stop service without referring further and further. I think we need to deal with that. So for me, I think for this portfolio committee, the report is very good. On these issues around the specific, generic recommendations, the report also goes to analyze the impact. That the impact on these issues is as follows. What is not here, maybe is part of the annexes, is the impact on recommendations on specific, under the specific categories. Of course, there I think it's because it differs from one department to department and the nature of issues. But there is no average assessment in terms of the impact. But on this area of generic category, there is that. Which then, to me, says if we want to agree fully with what Professor Sangwen says, that there is no alarm. There is nothing that we can pick up in terms of this report to say all is bad. I think we'll definitely agree. On the issue of the deadline, that issue has been addressed. You see, this report that then says to us that if you want to summarize, 54% out of the recommendations have been implemented. 46% are in the process of being implemented. And the report indicates that you are talking about some of the recommendations that were made even in December 2007. So you're also then saying out of these 46, there are some recommendations that are still outstanding, but new, recent, very recent recommendations. Now, there is therefore nothing that suggests that there is a crisis. I think then agreeing with what Mr. Mashangwe has said to them, say, we could actually, there's no problem in as far as the recommendations are concerned. I think even at the level of the generic recommendation, Mr. Mashangwe, if it is possible for a commissioner at a province to walk into the office of the MEC through this persuasive, I think we need to strive that, as Babas Kakani indicated. It's a very useful tool. Because persuasiveness does not suggest that you can't give a deadline and say, please, I want this thing to be done by me.
Yes,
So if we then do that, if we can do that at a provincial level, there's nothing that stops us doing that at a national level. The Constitution says there shall be one public service commission. Now, when you talk of this one public service commission and you have a resident commissioner in the provinces and stuff like that, it does not mean, Christian, it does not mean that the chairperson of the Public Service Commission cannot walk into the office of the minister. It does not mean that the chairperson of the Public Service Commission cannot walk into the president's office. It does not mean that. So I think it's a question of them saying, let's actually address this thing. You know, maybe we need to have a thorough consideration. Because as Kay was saying, even putting the C as a letter before PSC, to them say, talk about these things. You know, when you look at these things, you will then realize that most of the things that we say just say to us that we need to reflect more, even on those things that we say. I think the issue of communication is an issue. Parliament, if you realize that there is no report of the Public Service Commission, which you will not find a member of Parliament picking up on the recommendation and engage the executive concerned, you will then realize that we need to do an introspection exactly in terms of what we mean when we say Parliament is not doing enough. There are questions. If you can just pick the name of one MP somewhere here, you ask how many questions, and you know, asking questions in Parliament is calling for the executive to account. And once you do that, you then also follow up and stuff like that. I think this report itself, it can't be magical. It can't be magical that you have a report by the Public Service Commission that says on the recommendation, there is nothing outstandingly bad. There can't be a magic there. It's just to suggest that all who are involved in making sure that these things actually need to be done in our public service are actually doing that. Of course, we can say there's room for improvement everywhere. So I think this is some of the things that we need to look at, such that even the call for coming up with guidelines for oversight to be developed at this level, I think it's an issue that we might want to have to relook. Firstly, let's look at what we have and see as to whether we're employing fully. That opportunity is going to come. Actually, there, because the other committee on the Chapter 9 institution and related, what we shall call the Kada Azmal other committee and report. If that report having been tabled in Parliament, we'll have an opportunity as this collective to reflect on what it says. And as we do that, that will be the opportunity and the moment that we have to address some of the shortcomings that might be there, if the report itself does not deal with. I think we need to actually look at that. But it does not stop. There is one issue that we identified long time ago to say, I think that is the point that Mema Tomela and Mr. Yulis were raising. We have been saying that you would like to see, for instance, the Public Service Commission, when you look at annual reports as instruments of accountability, you would like to see the Public Service Commission expressing an opinion on annual reports themselves. In line as the AG on financial matters and other ready things will then be able to do. We have been saying this. What we need to take a step and actually give it a priority before we develop guidelines on oversight, which I will contest they are there. We need to then, we'll come back to you, Prof, in a matter of actually less than a month to then say, how do we operationalize that so that we take a step beyond just talking about some of these things that we need to do? I think that's one area that we might want to then say. So that I would like to then say, much as it is necessary always to do an introspection of ourselves, one will then say, if we could focus on this report and the recommendations, Now, focusing on the report and the recommendation, then we'll then have an opportunity to then say, please improve here, please improve there, and so on and so forth. So that we don't create an impression that we say, yes, here we are, a failing committee. Here we are, a failing commission. But the report is here, is so good. But if the report is so good about what is happening there, which are things that we have to do, then what are the explanations that we have to give contrary, I mean, to the contrary? I think that becomes an issue that we might want to do. So, colleagues, I was just raising this thing so that we then move and deal with it. I think the anecdotes, Prof, I don't know how the mechanism of getting them, but I think it will be critical that at some stage we have those detailed information. It may not necessarily maybe before now, but we need to find a mechanism. Because as Mr. Minier said, we would like to see the nature. We would like to see the nature of the recommendation. And also, because you see, it's one thing to say 954 a department implemented those recommendations. But we need to analyze the impact of that implementation in addressing the issues that were so raised. And we'll also like to see who are the key sources to the actions of the Public Service Commission. The point that Mema Tomer was raising. Most of this report, self-initiated report, or reports in response to opinion makers actually raising issues and stuff like that. So that we see as to what extent is South Africa aware of the important role of the Public Service Commission. So that if there is an awareness issue, as this portfolio committee could actually even drive that, so that this good work could actually reach out, so that people know that they have a useful instrument which is accountable to their institution of public representatives, parliament, and that the Public Service Commission. I'll put the CSK, don't worry. It's implied. Yeah. So I just wanted to actually make this observation so that we take the process forward. Commissioner is prepared to follow. It does not mean that if what we said generated an interest for others who want to participate, it's fine. We can do Commissioner Dispeko and then Mesh.
I thought you were summarizing here. I thought we were closing. But just to go back a bit to the Honorable Member, the Public Service Commission cannot oversee other constitutional bodies. It is Parliament that ought to fulfill that function. We will be treading on uneasy ground.
Exactly.
Just coming back to...
Still there, when we made a comment that we need to audit what we have already included in that response, yes, just that the member has left, included in that report is exactly that. So then say there is a mechanism in terms of dealing with that. The issue is just firstly consciousness and then...
Yeah.
So that if we don't come and put recommendations, because you will end up saying that no, Rich Baloyi's size, no, it's too short because it's just 1.6 meters high, and I'm 1.8. You know, you find that it becomes an issue.
So I was going to say that it's Parliament that ought to fulfill the role of measuring the performance of the Chapter 9 institutions. Just going back to what my colleague was saying about generic recommendations, the sum totality of those at any one particular point in time would give you an indication of the state of affairs in an area in the public service, as the state of the public service report would give you, as also the report we did on poverty reduction and the report that we did on provisions for HIV/AIDS in the public service. And when you take them all together, they should give you a sense of how our public service has been transformed, where the gaps are policy-wise, where the gaps are processes-wise, and where the gaps are institution-wise. So that I think I sympathize with the suggestion by the chair that a sense of the specific recommendations in the annexures should be given to the committee. And I think where that would be useful would be in the preparation for the single public service draft bill, that as you consider it, you see where the weaknesses are and you see whether specifically the single public service bill does take into account those that are fundamental in the amalgamation of a problematic entity in local government with national and provincial government. So the use for those generic recommendations is there. And in relation to the Auditor General, we have, as my colleague was saying, a memorandum of understanding, which on the part of the Commission was necessitated by limitations in funding and resources that limited us from going full force into areas of activity that we wanted to. The difference being that the Auditor General is well endowed. We were not well endowed. So we structured a relationship to share work. But that does not necessarily mean we ceded elements of our mandate to the Auditor General. There is constant dialogue between our office and our officials when they initiate areas that may create confusion in the minds of the public as to who is responsible for what. So that is an ongoing dialogue that we have. On persuasiveness, I think the honourable member has left. He had I think, somewhat of a simplistic interpretation of persuasion. It is persuasion in the strength of the validity of your argument. You can't go to a department and say do this without having valid arguments. You must have valid arguments for that. And the methods that you use to enforce your argument cannot be illogical methods. So it's in that when we're talking about persuasive. It's not like we go and beg and sit next to a DG and say, please, 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 implement, please, please, and pat them on the back. It's in the strength of the argument, analytically. And the result on HOD evaluations is showing. It wasn't clear to the executive what the importance of HOD evaluations was 2 years ago. It wasn't fully clear in the significance of that. And the significance of doing performance agreements was also not really fully set in the minds of the public services side. But through well-argued positions and methods, we have now, I think, managed to even have that mentioned as a priority in the State of the Nation address. That an administrative issue of that nature has been elevated to such a high priority, I think bears validity to the need to establish the merit of your argument and not just say to people, comply, please, please, please comply. Supplication, no pleading, vain pleading.
You see, August is around the corner. You might record that, okay.
Well, I'm largely covered by the comments that have been made by Commissioner Di Secco. Perhaps just to add that in terms of the relationship with the Auditor General, we actually have a joint task team at the moment from the Auditor General side and our office we are looking at updating the current memorandum of understanding to take advantage of other opportunities that are emerging now, the Auditor General going into what they call performance audits and audit of performance information, and we believe that there's space for more collaboration between our two offices, but also to see how we can then also ensure that the recommendations that each makes can serve as a basis for further oversight work by the other organization, so that when they go into the audits that they make, they take into account the recommendations that we have made already. So there is that ongoing work at the moment to strengthen the MOU.
Thank you very much. No further explanation, no further questions. Prof.
Just one very little quick point of emphasis arising from the observations from the members, particularly Honorable Skay, with regard to our approach with relates to persuasion. Yes, I would admit we are Christians of some sort, but I think the comments that were made by Commissioner Masangu regarding the very clear distinction between the generic and specific, the area that needs attention, which we would put before the door of the portfolio committee, yes, on the generic matters, and the examples have been given. We produce several documents which Commissioner Tshepo has raised, including the State of the Nation address and State of the Public Service, which could actually be subjects of your intervention, because those reports contain very, very applicable recommendations that should be carried forward, and we would be prepared to come with you in discussing with the departments at the national level as well as at the provinces. But the specific ones to which I was referring to in terms of our own initiatives in applying the mechanisms that are available, those also have certain limitations, but in certain aspects where we have the leeway, we apply them and they work very well. In that regard, but still, again, the approach of persuasiveness in the manner that we've defined, that still works. So, you know, one has to balance this and see which way one can take it in the manner that will make it work out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prof. That brings us to the end. I want to thank the chapters and the commissioners and the office of the Public Service Commission, colleagues, on this debate. It was a lively debate. You know when we're saying we are going to look at the audit on recommendation of PSC, I mean on implementation of PSC recommendations. Hey, I thought like, we are going to see a very bad a picture here. But I think we agree, colleagues, that the picture looks good. There is room for improvement, and of course with deadlines and stuff like that. Of course, obviously, you'll find that due to the nature of the issues, the deadlines may also be flexible, because there may be other things that may need to be addressed here and there. I think, no, that's fine.
Is there room for the repeat of last night?
Yeah. There is a question as to whether there is going to be either a replay of the party or a repeat. It's more interested in checking who are the stars, who were the stars of yesterday's party. But it's fine. Colleagues, on Wednesday, but maybe on that one of the party, I think Prof will still maybe in after this meeting maybe talk about that. You know, we received an invitation that was for the chapter, and later received an invitation that was for all members of the committee, but only received it yesterday. And an arrangement really was so like problematic, and I think we'll improve on that one. So if we did not all come, it was not that we're not interested. It was just because of those technicalities. On a more serious note, next week. Next week we're supposed to have a round table discussion looking at the SAMD issues, two issues that where SAMD was supposed to lead the debate. One on induction and reorientation, the other one on SAMD as a training facilitator, academy of choice, the long time in the public service. There are some technicalities that we will not be able to handle that item. So what we did, or what we are doing, is to present for this committee to agree that we continue the meeting, but focus on the report of the Public Service Commission. The report that we received on Wednesday. Process them, consider and adopt a committee's report in as far as how we are taking forward the commission's report. We will also reflect if there are issues arising from today's presentation as a committee to then say adopt the report so that this report may be submitted to Parliament. On the commission. So if we agree that that is what's going to happen, it may mean that because when you have to take a decision as a committee, you may need the presence of the commission, not to do a presentation, but to check if there are some issues so that you don't come with a recommendation that is just a semantic question. The clarity that you recommend to do what exactly is there, like coming with quite a number of other recommendations. That's just the issue that we then said, let's then bounce. We know that next week is a very difficult week, more especially if you have not booked flights now. It's almost impossible to look at that. I think that may be a limiting factor, unless if the office of the resident commissioner will.
For me, absolutely, because and it's appreciated the way that you're going to actually adopt the recommendation, discuss the adoption of those recommendations, but the role of us in those deliberations next week. Because remember, there were two specific reports around. Eastern Cape, but provincial specific. So even though, you know, I don't have a problem, I could very well be, and I'm more than likely going to be here if my presence is so desired. But Commissioner Maslangu might not like the idea that I'm going to speak on the Northwest. But I'm just saying to you that, and unfortunately, I was not part of that Switzerland on Wednesday. But I'm sure we can find a mechanism for me to be part of your discussions on Wednesday. But you've raised a very serious concern about the travelling arrangements for next week. So the rest of the commission is not going to be able to be here. It's going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one next week. Maybe let's actually reflect on that committee. Kakan, I see you want to suggest that no, we identify another thing.
No opinion.
Okay. No, we'll look at that. We'll consider all those things because really it would just be fair that they for instance, that we're not saying we're not going to then say the commission get into a detailed discussion, presentation and stuff like that. But I mean, if we take a decision as this committee on your report as a commission, just to bounce it with yourself, it just madness. So that we don't recommend and at the end you then say, but you should have included this and stuff like that. So we'll look at that. We'll look at that and then come back to you. I think we should be able to do that. So I think we have come to that.
If I could, Chair, if I could say on that, if you really must have the meeting, or if you come to a decision that the meeting must be held, the best that we would do would be to rely on our colleague here. Because as you very correctly observed, booking for next week must be virtually impossible at this stage. But if it comes to a real push that you have to have the meeting, then Commissioner Maharaj
will be there. No, it's fine. We'll take a decision before the close of business today. We'll communicate that. Yeah, tea, coffee, water, juice. It's set outside.
Everyone just leaves at the end, so I had to just rush to get all the cards. It's a rather duration of like delegation, then you just ask for the details before the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
internal strengthening.
Oh, no, that is going to be our first meeting from now. Yeah.
It's going to continue today.
No, not today. No. Okay. No. Oh, I see. Because I did not indicate that.
Yes.
Yeah. No. This item is deferred.
Okay.
Yeah, it's deferred.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Can I just write your apology?
Verify where I come from. The form.
Apology.